If you have a pet, brace yourself for this next story, because your beloved dog or cat, and most definitely your bird, is miserable living with you. Don't blame me for saying that. It was Kenny Torella who wrote an article for Vox called The Case Against Pet Ownership.
The origin story of my article began with my 3-year-old dog, Evie. You know, I work from home, so I'm able to give her a lot of walks and playtime. And yet I always wondered, is Evie just bored and frustrated all day from being cooped up inside?
Well, maybe Evie is bored and frustrated all day, but there is no way that's true for my dog, not Bisbee, who's been sleeping peacefully here at my feet all day. Last year, I spoke with Jessica Pierce. She's an animal ethicist and author of Run, Spot, Run, The Ethics of Keeping Pets. And I asked her, are our pets miserable?
It may be a bitter pill to swallow, but yes, I think our pets are actually not that happy being our pets. We tend to think of the animals who live in our homes as really pampered and well-protected, and we love them, so obviously they must be happy. But as a matter of fact, animals who live in our homes as our pets are, I think, one of the most miserable populations of animals on the planet. I think that's a really hard thing for people who live with animals to hear, because we love our pets. That's why we acquire them, and that's why we live with them, and we really try to give them good care often, but we put them into human environments that are really challenging for them.
I think you're right. It's very hard for people to hear this. You know, I've been talking with friends and acquaintances ever since I read Kenny's article, and no one has been willing to admit that their dog or their cat or, you know, their pet is unhappy. In fact, they say, no, my dog has the best life. I take it on 2 walks a day, you know, it sleeps in my bed. So are you saying what we think is a good existence for our pet may not actually be what they need?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. And, you know, I think in the case of dogs, we do our best, but it's really not enough often for dogs. And we tend to look at their world and their experiences from our perspective. And what I try to encourage people to do is to step into the paws or claws of the animals themselves and say, what does the world look like from their perspective? And to give one example, you know, we might think it's a great gift that we just feed dogs a bowl of kibble twice a day. Like, they don't have to do any work. But as a matter of fact, meaningful work is really important for animals. Animals need to have purpose in life. It's what they have evolved to do. You know, if an animal doesn't have the opportunity to engage in those behaviors, they end up feeling out of control, frustrated, bored, and maybe acting out, which seems to be an issue we have with companion dogs.
So those are the signs of a frustrated dog. But how do you know that they're miserable? I mean, is there data or research to back that up?
Yes, I do think there's plenty of research to back it up. And, you know, I could mention a couple of studies that have really stood out to me. One is a general large-scale study that was published in 2020. They looked at the medical records of almost 14,000 dogs. So this is a big, big study. And they found that 75%, so 3/4 of all dogs, suffer from some anxiety-related problem. That's a lot. Some of the other ways you might triangulate the problem of stress in dogs is by looking at the literature on dog behavioral problems, which can be a manifestation of a dog who's struggling to adapt to his or her environment. You know, there was a study out of Japan that found that 86%, so I mean, pretty close to almost all dog owners, reported that their dog had behavioral problems. That's a lot of dog behavioral problems. And it's not a canine crime wave. It's dogs struggling.
But I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, haven't these animals, dogs and cats, like, haven't they evolved over many, many years to be our companions? Because, in fact, we're both good for each other.
Yes, they have. And they are more comfortable in human environments than many other kinds of animals. For example, you know, wild caught exotic creatures who simply are miserable as pets. And I think dogs and cats and other domesticated social mammals can live happily with humans and in human environments. But the way that I've talked about it in my work is dogs are more intensively captive than they used to be. So, I mean, some of that is related to regulations. Like, it's illegal for a dog to be off leash unless they're in a designated off leash dog area. So they no longer have the freedom to simply roam around, which is something that dogs behaviorally are really motivated to do. They roam around. They cover a lot of ground. If you look at the research coming out on free roaming dogs around the world, which are incidentally about 80% of the dogs on the planet live on their own and not as pets, their lives are quite different. And we can get some ideas about what might be stressing our pet dogs by looking at how dogs live who have more freedom.
Do you have a pet?
I do. I have a dog named Bella, who's we got her when she was about one. She's 12 now. She was picked up off the street by animal control. So she's our family member. She's the only pet we have at the moment.
The reason I asked you about Bella is because, you know, there's people in your field who've been saying that it's time to consider the end of pet ownership altogether, which sounds ambitious, but how do you come down on that?
I'm moving in that direction as well. And I think that Bella may be my last dog. And it's not that I necessarily think it's wrong for people to live with dogs. I don't. I think the dog-human relationship is beautiful. It's powerful. Like, there's nothing else like it. But for me, the responsibility of giving Bella a decent life under the constraints that we're in is, it's a lot of responsibility. And I'm tired. Yeah. I feel guilty if I go on a trip. I feel guilty that I'm not giving her enough enrichment from morning to night. And it's just, it's a lot of pressure, because their entire life, their entire happiness is in our hands. If you think about it, that's a pretty heavy moral responsibility.
You've kind of broken my heart here, because you love your Bella. I love my Bisbee more than seems normal on most days. Can you tell us, you know, one thing that people can do to make our pets' lives better?
Yes. The most important thing we can do is give them a greater sense of control over their own lives and their own environment. And there are a million ways to do that, and you can get really creative, but just to give one quick example, you know, when I take Bella out for walks, she can't walk very much because she's got some serious mobility issues. But when we go out, it's about her. And I probably look funny to other people, but I let her choose the pace. I let her choose the direction. If you know, she wants to go into the middle of a muddy field in order to sniff something, I will go there with her. And for her, it's really about smelling. Especially now that she can't run around, it's really about taking in her sensory environment. And I try to let her be a dog. And sometimes that means, you know, if she wants to roll in the grass or in the field, and sometimes I don't know what she's rolling in, I let her do it, because, like, you know, she doesn't have that much excitement in her life. So when she can find these small moments of joy, I embrace them for her. Let your dog be a dog. Figure out what that means, and then let them do it.
Animal ethicist Jessica Pierce, thank you so much for your time. It sounds like you're a great pet owner, but thank you for your insights. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I try my best, and nobody's perfect.
Thank you very much.